is Union Grove growing? It grows in people's hearts. Now, yes, we've grown in numbers and all that, but Sandy and I both have in our heart that we would, everybody that is in this ministry would grow in the Lord. That's what we want. So, through trials and tribulations, we see God struggling to grow Chris. And God doesn't struggle. Chris is struggling as God grows him. So, Chris wanted to share a little something that happened in I guess, Methodist Hospital. So, Chris, share that and just kind of how the Lord's working in your heart in that way.
I guess, I'm turned on. So, for those who don't know, about 2 months ago, I returned to what I love, which is being on an ambulance full-time as a caregiver. Unfortunately, who I work for and what we transport, I see a lot of death, a lot of hardship. Example, last night, I had a patient, 30 years old, pass away on me en route. Very hard thing to go through. So look for something positive. This was, I think, about 2 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly. We took a patient. She was sick. She had... Ow. Thank you. She... Now I'm off, but up
that's
the
right.
It's okay. She had COVID. This was the first time she had been a patient. She was very, very scared. We got her to the hospital, and my partner asked her, would you like us to pray with you? And she said, yes, very much. So we started a prayer. By the time it was over, we had the entire floor, hallway, whatever you want to call it, in the hospital wing we were in, lined with staff, nurses, doctors, etc., praying with us, some on their knees, some crying, and this went on for over 25 minutes before it ended. Yeah, it was a career moment. It was a moment in life that I will not forget.
Thank you, Chris. And I told him that he's going to grow to the point where he's going to be the one that says, hey, let's pray, instead of his partner. That's the next step, to where we learn to trust in the Lord and not in our own strength. So, Lord, we come before you today. And Lord, you know I feel very, very inadequate today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me today and that we would leave here all knowing something, not being confused by it, but knowing clearly what you say in your word and in this little letter that Paul wrote that little church in Galatia. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The bottom line today is we don't do good works to be saved or to stay saved. Some paradigms teach that. You do good works to stay saved. You don't do it. You do good works because we are saved. Amen? That is the big message of Galatians. And on Wednesday, Sandy and I took you through Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And the bottom line is that we no longer are like a slave or a minor child in a home that has no say-so, David. But we are adopted sons and daughters of the living God. Amen? And as adopted sons, we have a certain status that's there that we can claim certain promises of God. We're not like a servant there that has no claim to anything. We have claim to all the inheritance that God gives us. And I don't speak in monetary terms. And so we are heirs. We are no longer a slave. And he says that, in fact, you used to be enslaved to the things of the world. And we examined on the podcast a certain Greek word that meant, it was an odd thing talking about the ways of the world, but we were all enslaved to those things that were our own passions and our own desires and the things that maybe distracted us and attracted us to things, distracted us from God and attracted us to the things of the world. Amen? But when we are in Christ, God truly becomes our Heavenly Father. He becomes Abba Father. He becomes Daddy Father. And I want to acknowledge now that I'm on the recording because there's a little sweet lady that I went to law school with who is bedridden. And so we want to wish Shannon Tuckett, I want to wish you a happy birthday today. And I pray, we pray, this whole congregation, that the comfort of the Holy Spirit would be felt right there in your room, and that you are not isolated, but you're with the King of all kings right there, and you can be boldly at his throne. In Jesus' name, happy birthday, Shannon. Sent her a little text today. She was my study partner. And we enjoy these rights and privileges of being a son with some control over our inheritance. Then Paul shifts, and in verse 8, of this same thing, if you have your Bibles, open them to Galatians 4. And I'm going to read there, Galatians 4, beginning at 8. And Paul says, but then indeed you did not know God. This is talking about before we were saved. You serve those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, and listen to this, or rather are known by God. So we're now known by God. How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? Those elements are the things that attract us to the world and program us to walk in step with the world, to which you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. So Paul talks to them. And what he's really saying to them is that now we both know God, but we're known by God. The Lord knows you and he loves you. That's a message I want to give you today. I long for the times like last week when I was on my zero turn. Because for some crazy reason, and I don't know why, that's when I feel closest to the Lord. And I'm out there on my zero turn, and it's just like I can see almost God looking at me. Do y'all know what I mean? Is there something you do in your life that feels that way? And so there I was, and it's like I know that he knows me, and I know him. And it's a wonderful feeling to know that your Father knows you, you know, and he's there, and he's looking after me, even though I may not hear his voice. And Paul is comparing that to an unknown God that creates enslavement. And I was thinking while I was preparing this message about when we took our family down to Mexico and we went to the pyramid of the sun and the moon and all that. And we saw places where trying to appease an angry God, they would cut people's hearts out while they were alive. And they would throw virgins into these pools of water and things, trying to please an angry, horrible God that didn't know them. You know what I mean? And we don't have a God who wants to enslave us. We have a God who sets us free. Okay? And that's one of the big differences in Jehovah. So compared to pagans, I'm saying we don't have to appease a God. False teachers had come along to the Galatians and they said, you know, it's kind of nice what Paul told you that there's this salvation in Jesus, but onto that, you need to be circumcised, you need to do this, you need to follow these feast days, you need to follow those days. And what it is man and institutions perpetually want to add on to Jesus. And they add all kinds of weird stuff, okay? And I'm not picking on any denomination today, but they add things that are not even in the Bible, like purgatory. So you think, oh no, I'm going to be in purgatory. I'm going to be in limbo. There's no purgatory in the Bible. I'm just using that as an example. Other things, we had a Amish group that came and stayed with us, and they add in all of this stuff. Kind of, I was talking to one of them, and he said, yeah, it's kind of like I'm not being faithful enough if I don't speak in German. Come on, really? Is that a man-made rule or what? And they would literally shun people from the group because they thought they had become apostate. That word, Joey says sometimes they use words that are too big, means had become totally against the faith, apostate, because they suddenly were not wearing suspenders or this kind of thing. Or speaking German, or adding rules like you can't own an automobile. These are man-made rules, and they will enslave us. And we need to constantly be on our guard that we don't think that there's things that we need to go do to appease God, or he's going to get mad at me and do something bad to me. I'm not saying that God doesn't correct a son whom he loves, but he corrects not in anger, Devin, but he corrects in love. When I had my kids and they were little, I had a struggle because I would get mad and want to correct them while I was angry, and I probably did too often. And Faber, you just be quiet. but you know, my heart's desire was to correct them in love. Yes. You know, this old thing, boy, this hurts me more than it hurts you, but I'm going to enjoy doing it, you know. That kind of thing. And we don't have a God that's that way. God is not a big bear in the air, Betty, ready to bop you on the head when you get out of line and do something wrong. He is a loving Father who loves you and wants the best for you, Judy. That's what he is, and for everybody in this room. Chris, he wants you to be all that you were meant to be in him, and to develop and be an asset and to be a blessing to the world around you. Jesus said this. He said, people that add things to the Bible worship in vain, and they teach human rules. Here's what he said. Look. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Tradition will kill you. Yes. Traditions will kill you. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Oh, I pray that I don't honor God with my lips and have my heart far from him. I want my heart to be his heart and his desire, okay? And then look what Jesus said. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Cultural mores. What are mores? Mores are things that, hey, you really ought to be doing this, James. You really need to do this, Kelton, to be a good Christian, or maybe to even get saved. Don't dance, don't drink, don't play cards. That was the old things that they used to say about Baptists. I met my sweet little bride, and, hey, you want to play cards? I don't know how. We weren't allowed to. Hey, you want to go to a movie? Well, I've been to two in my life. Hey, you want to dance? I don't know how to. So we signed up for lessons. But I'm saying these are cultural mores that might have been born in some good thought, but they get nutty when they replace what is the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Institutional add-ons. So these are cultural things. Add-ons would be purgatory, holy water, feast day, speaking German, wearing suspenders, not driving a car. This and this and this and this, and you can add and you can add and you can add to them. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And the wonderful message that I have for you today is that you're free in Christ. You are free to be obedient to the Lord and to do it out of love and not out of fear, Aaron, like we were talking in our Sunday school class. Then Paul goes on to Galatians 4, 12 through 16, and I call this part discovering church. What is church? Church is the body of Christ. And church works when I love you, Travis, and when you love me, and when we both love the Lord, and we all love one another. That is a church working in a community. And Union Grove's heart is open enough, and its arms are wide enough, that anybody can come in here, and God wants to give them a chance to be loved. Amen? Because we've had some real characters. Huh? Some real doozies. Sandy says, come into these doors, and I think God was giving them a chance to be loved like they were meant to be loved. And some people just can't take it. They can't take being loved, and they just give up and run out, okay? Or hurt you first because they want to end the relationship. Paul talks about what it was all about in 12. Brethren, this is chapter 4, verse 12. I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmities, I preached the gospel to you at first, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because you tell the truth? That's kind of weird, a weird little passage, but it gives us an insight into what Paul's ailment was. And maybe this was even his thorn in the flesh. Paul had something weird going on with his eyes. You can tell that. We don't know. Maybe he had these cataracts that were terrible to look at. He says, y'all loved me so much when I came through and gave you the gospel, you'd have pulled your own eyes out and given them to me if you could. That's kind of an act of love. And whenever we're loving one another as a church group, we have to be willing to give of our time, our talents, and our treasure to one another. I've been so proud of you guys this week, Joey and James, who have given of their time. They may not have any treasure, but gave of their time helping to do things for the community of faith. They're at the RV park, you two, Aaron, cutting and mowing and doing things out beyond your own trailer. That's what it's about. That is being a community of faith. Okay? And so Paul is saying that we love each other and God loves us. I put here, rules imposed by men move us farther from God. They may appear harmless, but they create frustration and enslavement in the life of a believer. And Paul says, Galatians, why have you lost your zeal for the pure gospel? Our motivation to do the things of God should never be out of fear. Oh no, I'm afraid that God's going to take away my job, therefore I'm going to go do such and such. Do y'all know that kind of thinking? That is enslavement thinking. Freedom thinking, spirit thinking says, Lord, I love you so much because of what you've done for me. Lord, I'm so grateful that I have a roof over my head and an air conditioning blowing on my forehead. That, Lord, I just want to serve you in whatever way you present before me. Okay, y'all see the difference? And it's a wonderful free way to live. And as Devin reminded me one time when we were doing work for someone who became nasty, he said, Faber, it never was about them. We're doing what God wants us to do for people. And that's a great thing to remember, because people can never thank you enough, or they'll never be worthy of our help. Have you noticed that? Well, I would help these people, but they just don't have their act together. Well, guess what? On some level, none of us has our act together. Amen. Except for me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I saw this. I like that little guy there, girl, or whatever it is. Don't be afraid of God. Many have a grace-based theology intellectually. That means they know in their heart that they can't do anything to be saved. I have a friend that's walked with the Lord for many, many, many years. He is eaten up with guilt. He's eaten up with worry. He's eaten up with can't sleep. Why? Because he emotionally has a work-based theology. Intellectually, he knows, well, I can't do anything to be saved, but emotionally, but God is the big bear in the air, and he's going to bop me if I've done something wrong last year or the year before. Or he even asked me one day, he said, I did something 15 years ago. Do you think I'm going through this hardship now because of what I did then? That is enslavement. If you're back digging up bones, to quote Randy Travis's old song, from 15 years ago, you're enslaved. You're enslaved to your own ideas of what it's going to take to please the Lord. Do y'all see what I'm saying? We don't need to go back in our lives. We need to go forward. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what you experienced. It doesn't matter how horrible you were. The Lord forgave all that, and he says, move on. He says, put the things past that are past and move on to the high calling that Jesus has called you to. All right? And I do that in my own life because I could beat up on me for stuff in my own past. All right? God isn't the big bear in the air. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I don't know why I left that off. It's 1 Timothy, I believe it's 3:15. Then Paul goes into this part that's very, very confusing, and I'm going to simplify it for you. Starting in Galatians 4:21, he says, tell me who you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one a bondwoman, the other a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born into the flesh, and he of the free woman born of the promise, so on and so forth. One is Mount Sinai, one is Jerusalem. Stephanie, do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Not a clue. All right. And so we're going to get down to the basics here and talk about Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah and Isaac. What Paul is saying, there was this guy named Abraham. He lived in about 2000 BC. Abraham was given a promise to the Lord in Genesis 15 through 17. And we studied the Abrahamic covenant, remember? And Abraham believed all that stuff and God counted it as righteousness. So God made promises to Abraham. He took him out and he said, Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham believed. And God counted it as righteousness. And Abraham waited. And Abraham waited. And Abraham waited. And he waited longer, Travis. And he waited longer, AJ. And from my calculations, he waited about 35 years. And then his wife said, you know, Abraham, I'm not getting any younger. How are we going to do this? So Abraham, here he is, 85. And I'm not blaming Sarah, as they hatched a scheme to help God. Any of y'all ever hatched a scheme to help God? What did it do? It blew up in your face, didn't it? And so they didn't trust God anymore to do what he said he would do and to be who he said he was. And so she invited Abraham to go sleep with her handmaid. She says, well, I'll let him get her pregnant and then that'll be my baby. Does that sound like a God plan? Not at all. So they helped God out, okay? And Abraham went into Hagar and had a child, and that child's name was Ishmael. And guess who descends from Ishmael? Muslims. All of the Muslim faith, all of the Arabic people come from Ishmael. A thorn in the side of the other sons of Abraham. Do y'all follow me?
And he was going to be a wild donkey of a man.
He was prophesied to be a wild donkey of a man, and he has been. He runs around and blows up buses full of kids and all kinds of other crazy stuff. Don't y'all see how God's word is so true even to today? We're looking at a son of the flesh. Do y'all see? But then what happens? Abraham gets promised again. If you go look, it's in Genesis 17. An angel comes to him again and he says, God really meant what he said, and you're going to have a child. And he tells him that. And then Abraham, it says in the word that he fell on his face and laughed. Because he's thinking, man, I am now 100 years old. And my wife is however old. Women don't tell how old they are. But if he was 100, she's probably in her 90s. And it says that they conceived and they had a son. So in their old age, they miraculously, God opens the womb of this lady, Sarah. And they have this child, Stephanie. And that's Isaac. And Isaac has Jacob. And Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those of which is Judah. From Judah goes down to a little guy named Joseph who has a son named Jesus. I'm just explaining to you in a nutshell this whole story about Ishmael. Yeah, did you have a question? Okay, well, because Noah and his family were way before Abraham. Okay, just to give you an idea, and don't feel bad. A lot of us get our chronology wrong. We can't remember. Well, what came first? That's why I throw these dates out, do you? So we look at this chart. There we have the facts. Hagar, that's the mama, the slave mother. Ishmael, the ordinary way. On this side, we have Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Isaac, that meant laughter, and he came by the promise. See what I mean? And so Paul is saying, y'all are sons of the promise. Don't get confused and go back and be enslaved, but be free. He was telling the story to them because they all were familiar with it. Much of Paul's audience were Jews who were living in the Hellenistic world. They were living in Greece. Secondly, he goes into these figures and he says that Hagar's people are like Mount Sinai. That's back there where the law was given. And he said, yet you have your feet on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a little bitty hill in Jerusalem. And it's kind of the place where David would go to be near to the Lord. It was his zero turn mower, if you get what I mean. And so the Lord was saying, I want y'all to be in a place where the Lord's going to be talking to you. You're going to be sons of the Spirit that live on Zion, not sons of the flesh back in Sinai. Do y'all follow his little, it's a kind of a metaphor that he's giving. You will not be earthly, but you will be heavenly sons and daughters of God. That's what he's saying. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you might have life in his name. Okay? And it says that when we believe in him, we become the sons and daughters of God. And then lastly, Becca, we have the future. We have a future as heirs, not as disinherited people. We have a future in grace. Because it's not anything that we did or deserved. So the real message that I have for y'all today is that we are free in the Spirit. Not free to run and sin and do crazy stuff, but you're free, James. You're free, Joey. You're free, Chris. You're free, Stephanie and Aaron. I'm talking to those that are living over at Bountiful RV Park now. Free with this course in front of you, and you love God enough that you inquired about him. And he brought you to a place here. Surrounded by people that love him, like Paul was talking about, you now have something that most people in the world don't have, and that is church, real church, people that really care about your spirit and your soul, okay? And wants you to be along with us, heirs, and to understand grace. Somebody this last week, and I'm not going to say who, drank somebody's adult beverage that was over in another place, and it wasn't theirs. And that person called me up hotter than a wet hen. I don't know how mad a wet hen can be, but my wife told me. See, and that person called me and said, they drank my such and such. And I said, well, wait a minute now. I remember you've done things here in this community where you never paid money back or you had things done for you and you still owe those things. I said, you know, you've been given a lot of grace. So you're now a son of grace, so you better go exercise some grace. I'm not saying it's right to sneak into somebody's place and take their stuff, all right? But I'm saying part of being a church family is we really have to extend way more grace than our flesh wants to, amen? Because some of y'all, I don't want to extend grace. I get up to about there, maybe there, and the Lord says, wait a minute now. To whom much is given, much is required. Okay, we've all been given a lot of grace, right, Betty? So, that is us on the right side, and that's what Paul is saying. He said, we are sons of the promise, daughters of the promise, not the ordinary way of the flesh. We are children of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Do you see? Grace is the act done by God and Him alone, and that is what bears children of the Holy Spirit. It is His act. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to the riches of mercy that He saved us. Those are Paul's words. As heirs of God's promise to Abraham, we can believe, and we too will be found righteous. All of us have things that are filthy rags in our past. Some of us have lied and cheated and stolen and done everything, all right? If we've done it in our hearts, we've done it, right? And yet we're forgiven. And it is all washed away when we put our confidence and our hope in Jesus. Works, the efforts of the flesh, bring about children of the flesh. The flesh has two results. Works-based theology has two results. Arrogance, pride. Look at what I did. I kept all the rules. Or defeat. And Tim can tell us all about the defeat side. You've got to do this, 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 and this, or you may not really be a Christian. You were told that, weren't you, Tim? And that's hogwash. There's one thing that makes you a Christian: when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus as your personal Savior. All right? It's not when you finally figured out, Tim, how to give up dipping or some oddball weird thing that's an add-on. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Let's don't add things on to the gospel. This doesn't mean that we don't want to each become more conformed to the image of Christ. But we are not slaves. We are free men. Amen? Let us be children of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Don't get hung up on trying to earn God's favor by doing stuff. If you're out there trying to earn His favor by doing good stuff, then you've already lost His favor because you're trying to earn His favor by doing good stuff. That's a lawyer's thinking, okay? You've got your focus in the wrong place. The focus is on Him saying, Lord, work in me. Do a work in me. Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free to not be addicted to this or that. Okay? I heard Pat Robertson on something on the radio the other day, and it was so funny. He said, you know, when God made the earth, He put the plants under man's dominion. He said, and then men have taken those plants and they've made addictive substances. Like he was talking about cocaine and all this other stuff. And he said, and there they are now slaves to the very things that they're supposed to be masters over. I thought that was real interesting because that's kind of what happens. Becoming slaves to alcohol addiction or drug addiction or sex or whatever it is, okay? Instead, guys, obey Him as an obedient child and enjoy His marvelous grace. That's my message I give to you as I head off to hillbilly heaven, as I call Tennessee. And I love going to hillbilly heaven. And I'm going to miss y'all. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to appreciate you like Paul did as a little church in Galatia. We'll be faithful to y'all to come back, Lord willing, and we'll do podcasts while we're gone. But you are children of grace, so walk like that. That's what my encouraging word to you today, especially in these times of COVID. We don't need to live in fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Y'all notice now I wear my mask more often. I do that because I want to protect some people I love. And I know one of them's right there. That's right. I'm far enough from you now. He said, I sure feel comfortable when you have that on. Good, I want you to feel comfortable more than I don't want to wear a mask. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It's loving others as you have been loved. The end. That's it. Well, we've been through Galatians 4. Wednesday we start on the fruits